Well, open your Queen James Bible. Anybody see that article? What a mess. What a mess. Boy, I tell you what, this world's going nuts. Going nuts. Take your Bible, your authorized version, and turn to preserve the Word of God. Take and turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. We ain't got out of chapter 1. We're not going to get out of chapter 1 today either. We'll take our time with this. Man, there's the words in this in this Bible sometimes when, you know, if you just let it speak to you. Boy, I'll tell you what, you can't hardly get through a whole sentence without finding five or six things that needs to be addressed, needs to be taught on, needs to be preached, need to be examined. And we got down in reading, and we talked about things that were that we were to approve of things that were excellent. And in verse 9 it says, "This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more and more and more and more in knowledge." And then I like that last part. It says, "In all judgment." Last night, at our workers' meeting feed, there was Brother Rick's sister Donna made comment about the Bible said that we're to love fervently, and she said, I don't know that I know how to do that. And that's just what this verse here just says, that we love more and more and more. And I'm going to tell you, love is not words. It ain't words. It's not an emotion. It's not an emotion. There's some emotions that can go with it, but it's not an emotion. Love is an act of the will. It's an act of the will. God so loved the world that He did some. He gave His Son. And then Jesus came and demonstrated the love of God by what He did there on the cross. And said that, and that you may approve things that are excellent. How are you going to approve things that are excellent? When you love more and more and more and more and more. The more you love, the more you're able to prove what's excellent. Now I made a comment last week. Whatever you allow in your life is what you approve of. Whatever you watch on your television is what you approve of. You know, whatever you read, whatever you listen to on your radio is what you approve of. And the Bible said we're to approve things that are excellent. And we need to examine ourselves and see what it is that we're approving of. You know, some people approve of the Queen James Bible, or the New King James, or the RV, or all the other 150-some varieties of English Bibles that are out there. And now you just about got it used to be the Bible of the month, and now it's almost getting to be the Bible of the week. And there's all kinds of mess out there that people approve of. But the Bible said we're to approve of things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. You know, Brother Rick made comment about something the director of Rock of Ages had brought to those men there with the Rock of Ages about being lackadaisical, or what's the word that you use? Complacent. You know, and it's easy to get that way. You know, you come to church, and as a preacher says all the time, don't let it be same old, same old, you know. We ought to be expecting God this morning. We need to walk through the doors expecting God to be in our midst. Now, we know He's in us. We need Him to be in our midst this morning. Moving. Challenging. And that will happen when we love more and more. And then we'll begin to approve of things that are excellent. And then we won't be offensive to God. When you approve of the right things, you won't be an offense to God. Well, that's who we worry about offending, right? You ain't worried about offending the world, the flesh, or the devil, are you? Huh? Well, I'll tell you what. If you're proving the wrong things, you will. You'll worry about, you know, what the men think about you down on the job more than what God thinks. And you'll begin to approve of things that are not excellent. So, if we're going to approve of things, we need to let the love of God, you know, abound more and more. And I asked y'all to go home and think about this verse, read this verse. I don't know who did. I'm not your boss, but I really think God wanted us to look into this thing right here. It says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. That's where these fruits are in Jesus. And when Jesus is in us, we should have those fruits, because the Bible has made it plain. Amongst men, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So in us, Paul said, that is, our flesh dwelleth no good thing. Amen. But praise God, when you got saved, you got a new man, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, who lives in you, who is righteous. And so as we yield ourselves more and more to the love of God, we begin to prove of things more excellent, then what will happen is you will be filled with the fruits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The spirit of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, faith, meekness. Hey, against such there is no law. You can have all that you want. Huh? But you can have the fruits of the flesh too. Huh? That's up to you.
Yeah.
Huh? That's our decision. That's where our will comes in. Those things that we approve of. Take your Bible, turn to Galatians right quick, and we'll read that. Galatians. Now it says in verse 16, "This I say to them, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, which I tell you before, that I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, we can approve of these things. He said, "Well, I'm saved." Well, I don't make a difference. You can be saved and still approve of these things. You can yield your flesh. You can yield yourself to your flesh, and your flesh will have these works. I mean, it's like the brother said, man, you can't cut the television on, and buddy, a commercial will come on, and man, and like I heard, I mean, years ago, he said, "What does a half-naked woman got to do with a spark plug?" Or some wrenches, you know, selling some wrenches. I said, you've all seen the posters. You've been in them shops, and or some old gal sitting there holding a big old wrench and everything, you know. What's that got to do with selling the wrench? Nothing. That's, you know, the thing of it is, though, you got to remember who the God of this world is. Huh? He ain't worried so much about selling you a wrench as he is selling you on some lust. And those things that we approve of, and hey, it's not a sin to see something. Yeah, but when you make a decision to look back, then it becomes a sin in your life. Then you saw it, you liked it, you approved of it, and you look back. The Bible said approve those things which are excellent. He says right here, not only that, envying, idolatry, witchcraft, and you say, well, I don't approve of none of those things. If you got any rebellion in your heart, it's as a sin of witchcraft. Hatred, oh my goodness. I've seen people get all bent out of shape over nothing at church. Huh? I've seen them always shaking their fists at each other. Huh? Come on. It's true. It's in us. We got to be on guard for these things. Man, I'm just be honest. I mean, I was at a point, at one time, I was this close of taking and throwing somebody in church down a banister stairs. Huh? And there's only one thing that kept me from that. A man stepped in front of us. That's what's in us. And we got to be on guard to these things. You know, boy, your flesh will come alive if you're not careful. We got to be careful of those things that we approve of. Now, what I want us to look at, though, is this thing of being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Take your Bible, we'll turn to the book of Matthew chapter 5. I know this was written unto Israel, but they are, we're not going to give no doctrine for the church, but we are going to look at examples for the church. And we need to learn this example here. In Matthew chapter 5, look in verse 6. And what's commonly called the Beatitudes. And in verse 6 it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Talking about being filled with the fruits of righteousness. So to be filled with these fruits of righteousness, you know what you got to be? You got to get empty. Oh, man, I mean, years back, I like to watch these kung fu movies, you know what I mean? And there'd be a little the old fella there, and he'd sit there, and he'd have a cup. He said, fill it up. He'd fill it up with water. He said, pour some more. He said, can't pour no more in there. It's full. He said, pour some more in there. They just spilling out. He said, your problem? He said, you need to empty your cup. That's our problem. We need to empty our cup. We need to get empty. We need to realize what it is that we need. We need to empty our cup of these things that are getting in the way of righteousness. These things that maybe we're not approving of. We got to examine ourselves each and every day. I mean, there ain't nothing. I don't care how upright you. You ain't no different from me.
You need to examine yourself, because I'm going to tell you right now, you'll deceive your own selves. Brother Rick said that guy taught on that message, and he cleaned your clock, did he not? And before he taught it, guess what? He got to studying it, and God cleaned his clock. Huh? He didn't start. You know, 95% of everything a man preaches is because God's already preached it to him. Mm-hmm. And showed him where he was failing, the things and problems he had in his life. I don't like preaching where you get these fellows, man, they come across like they've already arrived. I don't have no problem. And he preaches to them. I've heard it.
Oh, yes, sir.
I'm preaching to y'all. I've got to take care of it. Man, I'm right. No. Hey, God, we're starting with the... Look at this. He said, but if you want to get filled, he said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And it's just like a preacher said last night about that meal. He said, now, you know, everything went in preparing this meal, and it was pretty good. He said, you know, God has prepared all these things for us, man. I mean, barbecue chicken, pork loins, and baked potatoes with cream and sour cream and butter and boy, a big old tasty salad with all these fixings to go in and everything. He said, that looks pretty good. And you take it over there and say, okay, I tell you, I don't think I'm going to eat that, though. Let's see, what's out here in this dumpster? Oh, yeah, there's some old hot dogs in there. They don't smell too bad. And reach there and pull them out. You say, that's silly. No, it's what we are. It's the way we'll do. Amen. When the children of Israel come out of Egypt, and buddy, and God gave them angels food to eat, they didn't have no taste for it. They wanted leeks and onions and fish and all that. You know, that's what they wanted. What God had prepared for them, he said, all we have here is this old angel food. This stuff that comes down out of heaven. They'll come to church and say, what y'all got going on here? We got the Word of God. Amen. What else you got going on? We got the promises of God. Yeah, but what else you doing there? I'm telling you, we're disclosing unto you everything that God wants for your life, everything He'll give you for your life, and that is not what people want. That's not where their appetite is at. He goes on, he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Won't you have that one thought in mind right there? All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, if you're going to be filled with righteousness, you know what you got to expect? An onslaught of the enemy. The devil is coming after you. But as long as you're complacent, long as you're sleeping, he don't care. He loves you to go to church. He wants you to be in church. Don't think he just don't want you to get nothing while you're there.
Right.
If he can put you to sleep on a pew, wonderful. Great. Because I mean, the more religious you are, the more self-righteous you'll get. More self-righteous you get, the less able you'll be able to be of any benefit and use to God. I don't think that, the enemy just wants you out there drunken and laying around and, you know, and the houses of ill, you know, ill repute. He's fine with you being right here. Who was the people that gave Jesus a hard time? Huh? Huh? Were those who's laying down at the houses of ill repute and getting drunk and you know what I mean, and partying it up? They ain't the one to give Jesus a hard time. He didn't come to them and say, "Hey, this is unright." He said, "We know it. Yeah, we know it ain't right." They didn't get all mad and jump all over and say, "Well, let's take him out, throw him off a cliff." He just said, "It ain't right to drink liquor. It ain't right to, you know, lay out with, you know, prostitutes." And he said, "It ain't right to do this and that and the other thing. Let's take him out, throw him off a cliff." No, it was when he walked into church and told them what was going on there that wasn't right. Then they wanted to throw him off a cliff.
It ain't changed much.
No, sir.
Take your Bible, turn to the book of Amos. Amos chapter 6. We're going to read in verse 1. Whoa! That ain't like pouring the reins in on a horse either. That means extreme sorrow, extreme danger, extreme destruction coming your way. Whoa! It's like, whoa. You know? That's kind of where that is. Whoa. And I tell you what, since you know, hey, God's give them that woe, you know what they needed to do? They need to go, whoa! They need to pull up that horse and stop right where we at. When you see that word woe and you feel like you sense that God's trying to tell you something, buddy, you need to stop. You need to pull that horse up and get off. And say, "God, tell me, what are you trying to tell me here?" Woe! To who? To them that are a bunch of drunks? Woe unto them that are whoremongers? Woe unto them, hey, that are idolaters? Woe unto them. He said, no. Woe unto them who are at ease in Zion. You know, that's the Mount of God, right? Zion is the Mount of God. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. And trust in the mountains of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Pass you unto Calneh and see, and from thence to Hamath the Great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day, and cause the seed of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory, and stretch themselves upon their couches, eat the lamb of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine and bones and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. You know what he's saying? We had them verses when you come into church, you come in, is there not a cause? Some have compassion making a difference. You know what? These people, they would walk right past them signs, walk right in there and sit down in them pews and say, "Move me, preacher, if you can." That sound like they're filled with the fruits of righteousness? Notice what it said. It said, "And they are they greater than your born? You put away the evil day, cause the seed of violence to come near." You know, you know what people want right now? What they're wanting God to do? They want to make things easier for them. They want, and it's sad to say, they want our president to make things easier for the church. I'm afraid there's not too many people that want what it's going to take to make the church what it needs to be to make a difference in the lives of people that don't know God. Every church, every age that's been under persecution, God has blessed. Every church that's at ease in Zion, you know what they do? They just like over the church of Laodicea. Huh? Have need enough. Oh, man. We talk about, oh, it's hard. It's hard, man. We're so poor. We got it so bad. How many of you remember what it's like to sleep in an old farmhouse with no insulation, cracks in the windows, and snow blowing in on you? How many of you remember that? How many of you remember three rooms in a pack? Huh? Oh, we got it so bad now. Indoor plumbing. Hey, indoor toilets. Hey, you don't have to get up in the morning, bundle up, go out there and get your arm full of wood and carry it in and throw it in the firebox, start a fire for mama to get up and, you know, and start breakfast. While you went out there and got the horses ready to go out to the field. After you got the wood in, got the fire going. Huh? We got so bad now. We so poor. Used to be, you know what you had to do? You hollered across the holler, you know? Then you reach around the world. We got every kind of excuse not to be doing that. These things are putting us to sleep. And you know what destroyed Israel? The Bible said it was a fatted calf. It's prosperity. We talk about how, boy, Dan, somebody said, about talking about being poor. I said, look, we don't even know what poor is anymore. Not in this country. We complain. Oh, my goodness. The more we get, the more we complain. It's funny. I think back, and I remember being old with my cousins. They had a little television like this. They were watching the ball game. And they had them little filament screen you put across the television. It was blue, green, and brown. Y'all laughing. Y'all remember it? Hey, you go back 10 years from there, you know what they were doing? They were walking that. They were walking down. They used to would go down over in our area. I can't think of his name now. But people would come around, fell over. He had a radio, and they'd come over on Saturday evenings and listen to radio shows. Poor. Got so bad. But they're at ease in Zion. They chanted themselves with the viol and invented themselves instruments of music. I threw out a challenge, boy, it'd be a good thing if
we take and do some fasting, not necessarily food, but all this stuff that we got. You know, I read this past week when the children of Israel were getting right. They just rebuilt the wall. And now they cleaned out the temple, and they're working on rebuilding the temple. And old Ezra comes up, and he reads the law for 6 hours. They stood out there and listened to him, stood and listened to the Word of God. It was read to them. And boy, they were shaking in their boots, man. So the more he read, the more they realized how far away from God they felt. Then they remembered. They saw in the law. He said, they've got themselves a booth. They all went out of their houses and they built little booths out of branches and sticks. And they dwelt in them booths and remembered all that God had done for them. Do us good, man. Take them things right here and say, come off for a week. Cut our televisions off for a week. Cut our musics off for a week. Open up our Bible. Say, God, show me something. Show me where I'm really at. Show me what you really want from me. In the book of Amos, he told them, he said, whoa. Look at Amos. Look here in 7. Chapter 7, beginning in verse 7. This he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon the wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. The Lord said unto me, Amos, seest thou? And I said, I see a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people, Israel, and I will not again pass by them anymore. You know what that plumb line was, right? That was Jesus Christ. He said, I will lay righteousness to the line. That plumb line was righteous. It come down from heaven. You know, if you want to find out what's right, you want to take a house and find out if a wall is right, but a plumb line never lies. It'll show what you really is. And he said, he'll lay judgment to the line. And you see, we're the line. That plumb lies righteous. You know what I'm saying? And buddy, you've got to, if you want to lay a wall, you've got to lay it over that plumb line. If you don't, I'll tell you what you do. You build your house, you'll be sitting there on your desk one night, and you lay your pencil down, and it'll roll off in the floor. You'd be like old Lucille Ball trying to cook in a long, long trailer, and crack an egg and go in the pan. That's the way it is. It might look okay to us, buddy, but if you lay it to the plumb line. And he said, I'll no more pass by. And then look at chapters 8 of Amos, beginning in verses 1. Then saith the Lord God, showed unto me, behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord to me, the end has come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day. And the Lord God, there shall be many dead bodies in every place, and they shall cast them forth with silence. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath? What are you doing? They couldn't wait to rob from the people. You know why? They were full of covetousness. They didn't have enough.
I'm going to tell you something. You can mark this down. This country rapes and pillages other countries. They have been for years, and we've profited by it. You say, I don't believe it. You are, I'm going to say this in a nice way. You're stupid. We do that. We've always done that. We don't give a fair price. We get it for what we can get it. You know what we call that? Huh? What do you call that? When you pay what you, the least you have to. Huh? That's exactly right. If I can get it from you, that's from what I get. But what does God say? And we eat up the needy. And then we won't go tell them about Jesus. We'll send missionaries down there, and they know how this country has taken and taken and taken and taken.
That's a large problem, you know, that's going on. Somebody told my daughter, she speaking of going somewhere to missionary, she said, you need to leave about 40 pounds where you go. She said, what? He said, them people will look at you and they'll see you as being rich while they're starving. I know that sounds kind of harsh for him to tell that to her. But I understand what he's saying.
He goes on and he says, and we buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse for wheat. The Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein? It shall rise up wholly as a flood. It shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon. I will darken the earth in the clay. That's at the last. That's the end. That's right before the Lord comes back. That's what this is talking about. And I will turn your feast in the morning and all your songs into lamentation. And I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the morning of an only son. And the end thereof is a bitter day. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. You know why? I think God comes to a point, you know, he says, I'm sick and tired of showing you everything, and you said it, not all my counsel. And you were none of my reproof. And he gave that warning, a strong warning over in Proverbs about that. God Almighty has showed us so many things. What are we doing with it? While the people perish. God's people, we need to wake up and realize that the times are short. He said, they had in their head, well, the evil time's way off. It's not coming up on us. The evil times is way off. I'm telling you something. The evil times are right now. The evil times are upon us. And we've got loved ones that are away. They're just like the old song about the 99. They're out away. They're lost out in the wilderness. And we need some brokenness in us once again. We need some tears for our loved ones that are far from God. You say, well, you know, I think that you're saved. Well, that's fine and good. Are they living for God? They're the generation that's supposed to be going out with the gospel. Our children, our grandchildren. We're going to change the name of this class, the old soldiers, because that's what we are. And I'm going to tell you something, that's about all that's left, is old soldiers. And when they die off, what will happen? Huh? Dead soldiers. Dead soldiers. I'm telling you, we need to get the burden for this thing and pray. God.
God gave them a warning. This is what's coming. This is what's getting ready to happen. That's what's coming on. You just picked up the newspaper right there, Brother Rick. Because I'm going to tell you something. That where he's talking about, I'll not pass by anymore. He ain't going to pass by. He's coming again. He said, and the Bible says, woe unto them to say the day of the Lord. He said, for the day of the Lord is mourning. The day of the Lord is woe. The day of the Lord is blood. The day of the Lord, and that, he said, the sun will not shine. It'll be neither light nor dark. And he said, and that's going to come. And it's on us nearly, I believe. What are we going to do, folks? We better do, or we're running out of time. I'm 61. I was 27 when I got saved. And that seemed like it was yesterday, brother. It's getting away from us. I just want to encourage you, please, to think of these things. This is these fruits of righteousness God wants in our lives. We need to approve of things that are excellent. But to do that, we're going to have to start emptying our cup. We've got to empty our cup. Get out what's not important, and let's make the main thing the main thing. Well, somebody was telling me last night, yeah, I got all these reasons why I can't. And you know what? They said, and it won't hold water. It's just a bunch of junk. And we need to examine ourselves and see if we got a bunch of junk in our life that we need to pour out of our cup. And hunger and thirst for the fruits of righteousness, the souls of men, to before it's too late, once again, ask God to restore in us our tears and have compassion that will make difference. Brother Jerry, would you pray for us?